As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, let's take a minute here to listen to the music of the spheres.
It's nice. Lovely, right?
Yeah.
We forget that planets, stars, and quasars are all giving off radio signals. And if you have the right equipment, you can actually eavesdrop on space and hear all these sort of bubbles and squeaks.
Yeah, we're talking about the sonification of this radio wave information. And this kind of stuff has made the rounds on the Internet time and time again. Before the Internet, it was even available on vinyl. And it's haunting. It's beautiful. It's like the sound of space whales singing in the cosmos.
But just imagine that you go to eavesdrop on space one day and mm-hmm. you hear something that is ferociously loud.
Yeah, something that sounds a little like this.
Okay, maybe not exactly that.
Yeah, that I want to be clear, is not an actual sonification of anything from our universe. That is a creation by our sound designer and producer, Noel Brown.
And we wanted to include that clip because we're not exactly sure what this space roar, which actually exists, mm-hmm. sounds like.
Yeah, so all we know, it's six times louder than anything else out there, and it is a mystery. It is this haunting, perhaps even disturbing on an intellectual level, noise, just discordia emanating from the universe. And we throw our best theories at it, and nothing so far has really stuck. You can't help but let your imagination run wild, of course. Like, I instantly turned to H.P. Lovecraft's demon Sultan Azazoth, which was, quote, "that amorphous blight of nethermost confusion which blasphemes and bubbles at the center of all infinity, who gnaws hungrily amidst the muffled, maddening beat of vile drums."
Nethermost confusion.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to use that. And this is not the first time that we've had this kind of nice, deep mystery to chew on, right? Like, we have had sounds emanating from the depths of the ocean, from the depths of space now, that make us wonder what exactly is going on. And so that's what we're going to try to do today, plumb the depths of this sound and figure out what it is and where it's coming from.
Indeed. We're going to examine this universe-wide phenomenon of the space roar. Now, let me just clarify a couple of things to start off. When we're talking about listening to the space roar or any of these cosmic sounds, the sonification of the data. You know, we're not talking about actual sound traveling through space. Sound travels in waves, just like light, just like heat. But unlike light and heat, sound travels by making molecules vibrate. So for sound to actually travel, say from a ringing bell to your ear, there has to be a molecule-filled medium for it to travel through. Here on Earth, air molecules provide the pathway, but in space, particularly deep space, there are just no molecules to vibrate.
That's right. So what we are relying on when we talk about eavesdropping in space, we're relying on radio waves. And in 1931, American physicist Carl Jansky first detected radio static from our very own Milky Way galaxy, and similar emission from other galaxies creates this kind of background hiss of radio noise. So when we talk about radio waves, what are we talking about? Well, they are one of what we call electromagnetic waves. So, electromagnetic waves include light, radio, X-ray, gamma ray, and infrared and ultraviolet. And the thing that differentiates them is their wavelength. So, a wavelength of, say, light stretched out over a long, 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 long distance ratchets down its energy and then it shifts it into a radio wave. So in other words, radio waves are just another form of light. And this means that light from a distant galaxy can't be perceived by sight, but it can be heard by radio telescopes. Hence all those bubbles and squeaks we can hear when a radio telescope homes in on, say, Uranus or Jupiter.
So that brings us to Arcade. Arcade being a 2006 NASA experiment developed by the Goddard Space Flight Center. ARCADE stands for Absolute Radiometer for Cosmology, Astrophysics, and Diffuse Emission. And essentially, it was a high-altitude balloon payload designed to study the early universe by measuring the frequency spectrum of the cosmic microwave background, or CMB, and searching for signals from the first stars to form after the Big Bang. See, heat from the Big Bang still permeates the universe today, and scientists can observe it as this faint glow of deep space microwaves. This is the cosmic microwave background, and it contains what some scientists dub, quote, a fossil record of every early universe.
I like that idea, fossil record.
Yeah, I really like the fossil record analogy, too, yeah. And the instrumentation aboard this device was pretty crazy. The official Arcade website makes the following comparison. Imagine warming your hands by the light of the stars in the night sky. You know, standing out on a cold day, raising your palms up, and warming yourself by those distant pinpricks of light. Impossible, right? Now imagine trying to detect the heat from stars we can't even see. Like you mentioned earlier, the light from those stars just turned into nothing but radio waves after a while. That's why NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center designed Arcade to measure temperature differences as small as 1/1000th of a degree in the background, only 3 degrees above absolute zero, while also avoiding confusing data from everything else in the universe. So the entire instrument inside this ballooned lifted package was cooled with liquid helium to a temperature of 2.7 degrees above absolute zero. So they made it as cold, if not a little colder, than the CMB. So there's no confusion for its 7 cryogenic radiometers. So July 22nd, 2006, successfully launched this sucker from Columbia's Scientific Balloon Facility in Palestine, Texas. It ascended to an altitude of 120,000 feet or 37 kilometers, and after 4 hours of observation, parachuted back to Earth.
Oh, and what did Dr. Alan Kogert, a research scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center and head of the Arcade project, find? Well, he found something that was absolutely astounding. And honestly, he was just hoping to find confirmation of the cosmic microwave background and gather a few new radio emission points. But he says, quote, the universe really threw us a curve. Instead of the faint signal we hoped to find, there was this booming noise 6 times louder than anyone had predicted. He says the energy alone that could generate this level of signal is incomprehensible. And I've seen accounts of it. It's been described as a static-like noise coming from all directions. And the discovery is based on noise measurements in the microwave frequency bands at 3, 8, 10, 30, and 90 gigahertz, which peaked in NASA's detectors at 3 and 8 gigahertz. So they were observing about 7% of the sky when they had this booming sound come to them.
Yeah, and so we have a big fat mystery on our hands here. It's important to drive home that this is not like a one-time signal. This isn't like the wow signal or the bloop that came from the ocean that we've discussed in the past. This is a universe-wide phenomenon that is ongoing. But Arcade was the first instrument that was actually able to measure the radio sky with enough precision to detect this mysterious signal. And ironically, the roar hides the signal or seems to hide the signal from the earliest stars, thus interfering with the very mission we originally sent Arcade up for to begin with. All right, so let's take a quick break. And we come back, we're not going to provide an answer to this mystery. We're not going to solve it. But we're going to talk about some of the ideas that have been thrown out there, most of which have been shot down as well. But I think the theories, even the ones that ultimately don't hold up, help to illuminate what might be happening and just the sphere of possible answers.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Eugene Fodor!
Gene, was booted!
Much of the joy you will find on the road comes from the person you share it with.
So you write the books, Gene, and Vlastar on the business. I understand now. A wise man marries a wiser woman.
But be careful and choose your travel partner well, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
Get down!
I'm not stupid, Gene. Something is going on, and it's high time you tell me the truth.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
So travel before it's too late. Your money will return, your time won't, and we're all too quickly approaching that final destination.
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Have you ever seen those maps that say you are here and
yes. It
shows you in the middle of the Milky Way?
Oh, no. I was just thinking about the zoo, but okay.
The zoo?
Yeah.
You are here at the zoo?
Yeah, I get lost enough there without even taking into account the
Milky Way. I see the map, right. But you maybe have seen those illustrations before, which say, hey, by the way, the solar system is located within the Milky Way galaxy. So it makes sense that one of the first places we would look to try to solve the mystery of the Roar is, of course, the Milky Way, because it produces something called synchrotron radiation, which is electromagnetic energy emitted by charged particles. We're talking about electrons and ions that are moving at speeds close to that of light when their paths are altered as by magnetic fields. It is so called because particles moving at such speeds in a variety of particle accelerator that is known as synchrotron produce electromagnetic radiation of this sort. Now, okay, great. It's creating electromagnetic radiation. We can pick up on that as we know.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it doesn't look like our galaxy is the culprit because according to Dale Fixon, a University of Maryland research scientist and a member of the Arcade team, infrared radiation goes hand in hand with synchrotron radiation. And the already measured amount of the Milky Way's infrared radiation is not on the same order of magnitude required to create that kind of roar. So already we can look at the Milky Way and say, no, you are not it. You are not the culprit.
All right. So we slashed that one off the list. You know, Dale Fixon also looked into the idea that the roar could be emanating from the very first stars that Arcade was actually looking for, right? These first stars, thought to have formed about 13 billion years ago, didn't have any dust. That's because the first dust in our universe was formed within these very stars. So, in theory, possibly, these stars could have created a lot of synchrotron radiation without that correspondingly high amount of infrared radiation, which we would have theoretically already detected. So there's one possible loophole, but it's not an answer.
You seem dubious about it.
Well, I'm dubious about it. I trust Fixon on this. If he says that it's not a slam dunk, then I'm going to have to take his word for it.
Wise. All right, what about other far-flung galaxies? Well, clusters of galaxies form by gravitational merger of smaller clusters and subclusters, and we know from radio telescope observations that sometimes there's the presence of large regions of diffuse, steep-spectrum synchrotron emission. And galaxies that emit more light at radio wavelengths than at visible wavelengths, these are known as radio-loud galaxies. So there is this idea that there could be these radio-loud galaxies out there that could have created the space roar. However, Kogart, our man at Arcade, says, quote, typical radio galaxies can't account for the noise as you would need the entire universe filled of them to produce signal strengths this high, six times higher than the combined emission of all known radio sources in the universe. Or more specifically, as Fixon puts it, you'd have to pack them into the universe like sardines. There wouldn't be any space left between one galaxy.
A sardine universe. Not an answer. All right. Well, here's another theory. And this one, I do want to preface, is out there. And it takes us a little more into the fringes of what we know and into some of the more complex and...
Mind-melting
theories regarding our universe and our place in the universe. American physicist David Brown has a take on space roar that plays into cellular automaton and M-theory. Okay, cellular automaton is a whole area that we could easily spend a whole podcast on, so I'm going to try and keep it short here. But this model involves the use of colored or shaded cells on a grid that evolve through a number of discrete time steps according to a set of rules based on the states of neighboring cells. So you may have seen footage of this. It plays into the Game of Life experiment where it looks sort of like, I guess they were Digimon, the sort of little primitive computerized things where you'd mm-hmm. have like a little digitized pet. Kind of looks like that, except more abstract, little dancing pixels. And essentially, it's a model of complexity. It allows scientists to observe complexity evolving, so that cellular automaton serves as a general model of complexity, a level of complexity that ultimately, theoretically, is on par with our entire universe. And you could argue that the complexity that we see in reality could essentially begin as a little program of dancing squares on a computer screen. Okay. If you're still with
me.
All right. If you're still with me, that's the first slab on the sandwich.
We are in a computer simulation.
That's where it often leads to, is this idea that you can think of, in a way, you can think of reality as a computer simulation based on cellular automaton. But the next layer on the sandwich is M theory, a branch of string theory that presents a model for the basic structure of the universe and allows for the existence of additional universes. So Brown argues that M theory describes the cellular automaton and that real photons are constantly leaving our universe to enter an alternate one. And this would mean that over time, the percentage of real matter in our universe has decreased, and the percentage of virtual matter or dark matter has increased. So this would mean there would have been more matter in the early universe, meaning much more radio noise. And that is what Arcade is detecting when it gazes through space and time to those early stars.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. We are in a computer simulation.
Right. A leaky one.
A leaky one. And as a result, well, I should say an indirect result of that is the space roar, which is really just maybe photons exchanging energy between other universes.
Yeah.
Close?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We're in the Matrix. And
there you go.
And there's this big crashing sound in the distance, and that's pixels and programs being flushed out. Meanwhile, there's dark matter flowing back in.
It's all very dramatic.
It is. It's very dramatic. And again, it's an out there theory, and it does not, again, solve our mystery. We're still left with this mystery of the space roar.
And we may always be, right? It may just be that we don't have the instruments that are sensitive enough to pick up on whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the great unknown. Maybe, giving us the finger a little bit, saying,
you think?
Yeah. Saying, You don't have it all. You don't have all the answers. And here, I'm just going to make a big loud raspberry noise at you and leave you with that. Try and figure this out, humans.
So it's like a cosmic fart joke?
Maybe. Yeah.
All right.
The biggest fart joke in the universe.
You know, yeah. I like those scatological jokes.
All right. Well, let's put the space roar aside and let's call over the robot and do a couple of listener mail. All right, this one comes to us from Alex. Alex writes in and says, "Hi, my name is Alex. As part of my job, I tend to do a lot of driving, so podcasts like yours really keep me sane. For that, I thank you. Essentially, I just finished listening to your Mean World Syndrome episode, and I thought I would add to it. Recently, a game called Bloodborne was released. You can probably guess from the promo art," and he included this as nice, dark, dreary image of some dude with horns on his helmet and weapons and a dreary sort of dark fantasy, grim dark fantasy setting.
A caped figure.
Yeah. He says, "You probably can guess from the promo art, it's not a pleasant feel-good game. Without giving any spoilers, the world the player is presented with is hopeless, desolate, and depressing. It's a very good game. However, I found that after I played for long periods, I became very forlorn and quiet. I found myself feeling apathetic and even resentful towards the upcoming general election. I live in the UK. I've actually stopped playing, despite how good the game is, as a direct result of feeling so crappy straight after playing. Listening to your podcast just after noticing this was a great little coincidence, and one I thought I'd share. Keep doing what you guys are doing. I look forward to every single episode. You don't have to read this out. I just wanted to give you guys what I thought was a fresh perspective and example."
Cool, Alex. Thanks for writing in about that. We also got a lot of feedback from our episode, The Gordian Knot of Race. We expected to get a lot of feedback. We got confirmation of unconscious bias from listeners. We got some people saying that unconscious bias doesn't exist and we're not too happy that we covered it.
I think we had at least one person say that they don't see race. Yep.
We did. And so we thought we would share this one from Melissa. She says, and this came through Facebook, says, "I just finished listening to your podcast on the Gordian Knot of Race. This is a topic that has always fascinated me, how something so seemingly inconsequential as how you look could and does affect all areas of life. I thought you did a very good job of talking about unconscious racial bias and how things woven into our culture can affect how we feel about a person, even if we don't know it. I took the test linked on the landing page for the podcast, and I thought the results were very interesting and much different than what I was expecting. For some background, I live in a very heavily white area. There are very few minorities of any race. In my childhood, as well as today, best friend is mixed, black father, white mother. I love my friend dearly, and I have very few early memories without her in them. We met at about age 4 or 5. And as a result, I have very few memories that do not include her family. I expected that I would have a slight preference for white faces." She's talking about the IAT, which is the implicit association test that she took. Slight preference for white faces simply due to cultural factors and what a white area I live in and grew up in. However, when the results came back as your data suggests little to no automatic preference between African American and European American. This greatly surprised me and got me thinking, could my lack of unconscious prejudice have something to do with my best friend of so many years and her family? Could it be a reflection of how having been exposed to them at such a young age and caring so deeply for them, I developed the necessary empathy to get such a score? Could this mean that if more schools had a more even mix or neighborhoods were not so prominently one race over the other, unconscious race preferences could go away as well? All rather abstract questions with no easy answers. I was just curious if you found any information about this in your research. Keep up the great work. You are always a fun listen. Melissa. So thank you, Melissa. That's a excellent firsthand account of not only the results that you got on your test, but what your own experience has been.
Indeed. And if anyone else wants to take the IAT, you can either, of course, find it, search, or we also included a link to it on the landing page for the Gordian Knot of Race episode.
Now, I'm not surprised that, you know, such a young age with her experience with her friend who is of mixed race, that she would have those results, because I'm thinking back to the episode when we were talking about kids, I believe, as young as 7 begin to express unconscious bias.
Yes.
So you could see how the positive side of that could be reflected. And that's why I thought it was so great that she shared that with us, because it is the positive side.
Indeed. It's good to hear about the positive side of that coin. So there you have it. We'll send the robot back to its chamber once more. And hey, in the meantime, if you would like to check out more episodes of the podcast, if you want to check out blog posts, videos, links down to social media accounts, whatever, you can find it all at stufftoblowyourmind.com.
And if you have some thoughts you'd like to share with us, please send them our way. You can do that by emailing us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when 2 partners have 2 different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask 2 people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi, this is Kurt Woodsmith. You remember me from such TV comedies as That 70s Show and That 90s Show on Netflix. I'll never forget the words that my grandfather said just before he kicked the bucket. He said, "Watch how far I can kick this bucket." People ask me where I get my dad jokes from. I tell them to listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast. Listen to Daily Dad Jokes every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.